All right. You may be seated. You may be seated. Some of you guys got dressed up for Mama today. We have a lot of guests here today, and I want to say to all of our guests here as well that I am so glad that you guys decided to join us. Happy Mother's Day. It's my turn to say it. If I didn't tell you personally, all the mamas, all the ladies, this is your day. This is your day. And I want to say to my wife as well, who hasn't been able to be in town for the second Mother's Day in a row, baby, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. She's watching online. Thank you so much for just being a mother to our four crazy children and helping me raise them, Lord, and just being such a wonderful, wonderful woman. I love you, baby. I love you. That was awkward with you guys around. I'll call you later. So what I want to do today is, if you guys have your Bibles with you, please turn to or click on 2 Corinthians 12, verses 6 to 10. So 2 Corinthians 12. And before we get into the message, I'm going to go ahead and mention our offering like I do every week. So if our ushers would please come forward at this time. As they come forward, let's quickly pray for the offering and for the service as well. Lord, as we give to you this morning, we say it each week. God, this is our opportunity to give an extended act of worship to you. Remind us today once again, Lord, that everything that we have is yours in the first place, and we choose to give back to you today. God, this is our way of saying to you that we trust you. We trust you, even in the area of our finances, Lord. So, Father, I pray today that you would prepare our hearts, every single heart in this place, whether it's their first time being here or whether they've been here for many years. Prepare my heart as well, Lord, for the seed of your word. I ask, Lord, that you would give me the gift once again of teaching and communicating. Lord, help me to do it clearly. I pray that you would give me clarity in my mind. Lord, that you would help my mouth to speak clearly, as sometimes it doesn't. And Lord, help me not to go too fast, like I always say. Help me not to go too slow. But I'm standing on Galatians 5:25 once again, and I say, God, let me stay in step with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are currently in a series called Always Confident. And they gave me the opportunity to speak again this week to increase my confidence. And an always confident kind of song lately. I love music and an always confident kind of song. A song that's been on repeat on my playlist recently. It's a song called Same God. Some of you have heard of it. And the reason why I feel like this song is so timely for our series is because it's a song that accurately tells a story. See, it tells a story, and the story is all based off of Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8 is set up by what we call the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 13:8 reminds us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in the past, in the present, and in the future. Amen? Amen. And we're going to stand on that today. The song Same God lyrically starts out like this. I'm calling on the God of Jacob. We've been talking about Jacob over the last 3 weeks, whose love endures through generations, and he's faithful to keep his covenant or his word. Some of us here this morning, we need to find confidence in God's faithfulness. We need to find a greater confidence in God's faithfulness. The lyrics continue on by saying this, I'm calling on the God of Moses, who opened up the oceans, who opened up the oceans. And some of us this morning need to find confidence in that God can still make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen. I'm calling on the God of Mary. Happy Mother's Day, Mary. Whose favor rests upon the lowly. Some of us here today need to find the confidence that God's favor rests upon the lowly. And right now, some of our lives into today, as we made it in, if we're honest, are in a very low point. We're going to call on that God today. And I'm calling on the God of David. Oh, David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. Others of us here today need to find confidence that God will give us the courage to face the giant-sized circumstances, the giant-sized circumstances that we're standing with face-to-face right now. Because I may not face Goliath, and you may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Amen? Amen. Always confident. So here on Mother's Day, a day where we honor all women, as Marty did so eloquently, and in order to stay in line with where I feel like God is leading us, welcome to our series, Addition, Always Confident, Mother's Day Edition. Mother's Day Edition. Yes, this is the Mother's Day Edition. Woo, yeah, go ahead and do that. Woo. Yeah, it comes out way better with you than it does with me. But before we get into the scripture this morning, I want to set it up with something that's very Mother's Day themed. And it happens to be one of the most popular Mother's Day gifts. And it's flowers. Flowers. So we'll start off today with a little flower trivia. Little flower trivia and one question. Here's the question today. What would you say is the official flower of Mother's Day? What would you say the official flower of Mother's Day? You're not going to get a prize, so I know you got your hand up. I'm not going to call anybody. It's a rhetorical question. So you may have the answer. I heard roses. The correct answer is carnations. Carnations, yes, carnations. And it's not just because they're cheaper than roses. Carnations have traditionally been the official flower of Mother's Day for many, many years. Okay? It's said that pink carnations are most common and symbolize gratitude or love. The red, we got the red ones in there too, and the red ones signify admiration. Okay, so admiration. And the white symbolizes motherhood, and it honors both current mothers and also mothers that have passed away. A little bit of information. Now, carnations may be the official flower of Mother's Day, but one more trivia question that I'm going to answer for you this morning. You're welcome. What's the most meaningful flower? The most meaningful flower on any day of the year? And I'll tell you what it's not. It's not. It's not the rose. Okay, it's not the rose. The rose loses again. Because the red rose may say, I love you on any given day of the year, but the heliotrope steals the show. The heliotrope steals the show. Now, some of you who have not worked at the floral department in Fry's are thinking right now, what the heliotrope is a heliotrope? Here it is. And it is the reason why it's the most meaningful flower at all times is because of this. Because it means not just I love you today, but I love you eternally. Eternal love. There is going to be a shortage of heliotropes in the City of Surprise and El Mirage. Now me, I love the rose. I love the rose. Any rose lovers in here? Okay, I know who not to buy roses for. I love roses, but I don't always love the price of roses. Happened to buy some yesterday. I don't really love the prices of roses, especially on special occasions. I love roses, but I don't always love the thorns, right? I mean, what's the purpose of thorns? What's the purpose of thorns? I often wonder why God made things like, and I do, I really do. I wonder why God made things like pigeons and cockroaches and flies. Well, why did he make flies and scorpions? Really? Scorpions. What's the purpose? And when I think about roses, why did God make thorns on something so beautiful? That's the question. And now the scientific answer to that question is simply that the thorns are meant to protect against herbivores. Herbivores, you guys like herbivores? What's an herbivore? It also starts with an H, just like heliotrope. Herbivores are plant-eating animals. And so the thorns are there to protect them so they don't eat the leaves that the plant has spent so much energy into making. A little more trivia. Okay, that was my scientific question in relationship to thorns. But here's my spiritual question. Here's where we turn the pivot. And this sets up today's scripture. Why would a God who has enough power to take down a giant with a rock leave something as small as a thorn? Why would a God who said you could have mustard seed faith, small faith, and move something that's as big as a mountain? Why would a God leave something as small as a thorn in the life of you and I, or even someone as important as Paul? That leads me into the title of my sermon today, Crippled Yet Confident. Crippled yet confident, thorns turned inward. Because scientifically, thorns protect, but spiritually, thorns turned inward. Those thorns penetrate. Those thorns can paralyze. Those thorns can permeate my entire perspective. You can put unnecessary pressure on your purpose with these thorns as well. So we're going to Corinth. And Corinth is a very culturally compromised church, a confused church, a church that was kind of just limping along at this point, a church that had become crippled, And the Apostle Paul is getting personal with these believers, and I believe God has a personal word to speak to some of us here today. I believe that this is a personal message, and this personal message is for somebody here today. I say that because sometimes when I preach to please everybody, I might not reach anybody. But when I preach to somebody, the message oftentimes touches everybody. So please, today, lean in, somebody. Not everybody, but somebody. The message is a collaboration today with one of my mentors. And thank God for mentors today. One of my mentors is Marty Kaiser, who shaved his hair like his mentee. He shaved it. He wanted to be like me. So I don't know who's mentoring who these days, but in the area of hair once a year, he wants to be like me. Let's get into the scripture. 2 Corinthians 12, 6 to 10. Here it is. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool. This is what Paul says. Because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Paul got many great revelations from God. The thing is God knows what you're prone to. He knows what I'm prone to. And God knew what Paul was prone to, and Paul was prone to pride. Us, because he's so good, is God will match your course to your calling. And he does it very specifically. He does it very specifically, and he identifies it specifically for each and every one of us. The rest of verse 7 and 8 says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Now, I don't believe this means that actually Paul prayed, take it away. Okay, God, I guess I got to live with it. I don't think it was that quick. I would say that, because the scripture says that he pleaded with God. I think that means that maybe at three different times that Paul launched three separate campaigns to heaven to try to get God to change his situation so he could be more effective for God. That just seems right. And this was something that Paul wanted. And Paul thought that it was something that God wanted as well. And after every campaign that Paul tried to get God to change it, it was still there, and he accepted it. Verse 9 and 10 say this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness. My weaknesses, so maybe there was more than one thorn, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Crippled, yet confident. Somebody who knew all about overcoming. Somebody who understood how crippling that life could be. Paul had unarguable character. And his unarguable character was built through consistently crippling circumstances. Some of us can connect with that. Paul had a master's degree from Thorn University, a university that you never graduate from. You never graduate from there. You just keep, because they have unlimited classes that you can take. You can continue to take classes one after the other, so you never graduate. But Paul had been in Thorn University for quite some time. See, the truth is what Paul went through to be who he was, it cost him greatly. It cost him greatly. In chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, he mentions a shipwreck. He mentions a stoning. He mentions unimaginable beatdowns. Unimaginable beatdowns. And I could go into detail on all of these today, but I've got a 30-minute window that I'm trying to land the plane in. He mentions many storms. He mentions betrayals. He mentions opponents. He mentions all of that and even more. See, Paul, who paid the price to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, he mentions all the things that made him such a master pastor. All the things that made him a master pastor. And now he's writing to a church that's in rebellion. Not this church, but a church that's in rebellion. And he's reminding them once again of his resume. His resume. Now, for time's sake, I want to unpack this one part of verse 7. This one part. Here it is. This is where we're going to spend the remainder of the time. Verse 7 says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. See, here's the million-dollar question this morning. What was Paul's thorn? What was Paul's thorn? And now, understandably so, there are a lot of interpretations of what Paul's thorn was. Historically, some people, they would say that Paul actually had epileptic seizures. The reason that they trace it back is because when he was blinded and knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus, they say that he never quite recovered from that, and that was his thorn. Other people would say that there was something wrong with Paul's eyesight, that it was from his blinding on the road to Damascus, that his eyesight just never fully recovered. Because when he wrote to the church of Galatia, he talked about how large his letters were. So I need a really large print Bible, and I think Paul did too. And he even mentions that the Galatians said to him that they'd be willing to give up their own eyes for him if necessary. Some people thought it was that. Other people don't associate it with blindness or any kind of a medical condition. Luther and Calvin, they identified it with the spiritual temptation that Paul faced. See, some people think that Paul's thorn was his opponents, his haters, those who were blasting Paul on Twitter. Okay, some people think it was them. And they would say things like, he's not real. He's not valid. You can't believe that guy, Paul. And you know, his letters are good. They're okay. But he doesn't speak so well. Shots fired. His opponents were coming against him constantly. Do any of you have opponents that come against you constantly? This message may be for you. You may be somebody that this message is for. There seems to be a lot of confusion about what Paul's thorn was, and all pun intended. I want to give you 3 points. Today, dad joke of the day on Mother's Day. And the last point that I'm going to give you today, I'm going to tell you what Paul's thorn was. I'm going to tell you what Paul's thorn was. But first, we need to understand this, and it's the first point today. Point number one, Paul's thorn was a metaphor. Paul's thorn was a metaphor. Paul does what we do. Paul does what we do. When you have something in your life that you can't actually mention, he gives it a metaphor, right? It's a metaphor. And no matter how many different scholars and theologians trace the Greek and the precedence of what that could have been, the thorn, it's a metaphor. Okay? This is where we actually get the cliche saying from, it's like a thorn in my side, or he's like a thorn in my side, or she's like a thorn in my side, right? It's a metaphor. Most of the things that we really deal with when we sing about them at church and the songs that we sing about, okay, we actually have to put them into a metaphor form. Maybe Paul didn't mention it by name. Maybe it was because he didn't want to limit the application to the people that he was actually sharing it with. See, because a metaphor gives you more room. It makes more room. A metaphor is all-inclusive. A metaphor makes room. I mean, it gives you more room than an issue does. If it's an issue, it's very narrow. It's this. But a metaphor gives you space. It gives you room. If Paul had said exactly what he struggled with, you may be saying today, well, I don't struggle with that. So I'm better than Paul. Maybe. Or if it was something that's less than what you struggle with, and Paul mentioned that, you may say, well, if he calls that a struggle, there's no hope for me. Okay? I don't mean to make this an English class this morning, but I keep coming back to the power of a metaphor. Without a metaphor, you'd hear people singing about their thorns. And the song may say something like, I may not face Goliath, but I have anger issues. I may not face Goliath, but I'm a functional alcoholic. Like, we couldn't say those things out loud, and that doesn't even rhyme, but maybe something like this. I may not face Goliath, but I can't stick to a diet. Okay? I may not face Goliath, but both my kids are liars. And you can't even say that because your kids are probably sitting next to you today. So you can't say those things honestly and out loud. And so the funny thing is two people sitting next to each other this morning might just be singing about one another. Okay, they came to you, or you may be the metaphor that they're singing about. And the other person doesn't even know it. You're my Goliath. You're the one, and you didn't even know. You're the one I'm singing about. You're the one I'm crying about. You're the one that I cry about quite often. That's the power of a metaphor. My next point, Paul's thorn was a messenger. Paul's thorn was a messenger. He said, a thorn was given to me. It was given to me. He says the strange phrase, and he says it was a messenger of Satan. That's what it says. The word in Greek for messenger is angelos. Angelos. And what does that word sound like? Angelos. Angelos, angel. Somebody said it. I heard somebody say it, angel. So the same word that's used for messenger, that's the same word as angel, is messenger. It's equal to. It's the same word. There's no difference in the word. See, an angel of Satan was sent to torment me. An angel of Satan. I don't know about you, but I do not want that kind of angel showing up to my door delivering anything to me. Okay? I've never prayed for Satan to give me anything in my life. And I really don't think Paul did either. He said the first time that he got that thing at his doorstep, came knocking, he opened it, there it is, he got it, he said, return to sender. I didn't ask for this. And he said it three different times. See, but in this case, Paul said, I have to see that it was given to me. It was given to me. And even though the enemy delivered it, he said, it came from an angel of Satan, gave me a gift from God. And that's why I think this week, when it comes to thorns in your life, even if it's a person that gets on your last nerve. Anybody have one of those people in their life? Somebody that gets on their last nerve. Be honest. This is church. We're honest here. Three people. No people like that. The rest of you guys are liars. Okay? Even if you know somebody who gets on your last nerve, this week, just tell them, you're such an angel. You're such an angel. You're such an angel. Now, if they go to church here, don't say that because they may know the Greek. And then, yeah, you don't want that. But if they don't go to church, they don't go to church here, they won't have a clue of what you're talking about. Just walk and say, hey, man, you know what? You're such an angel. You're such an angel. And parents, I want to ask you this morning, did you know your kids? They're angels, right? And kids, did you know your parents? They're angels. They're angels. I can't wait all week. You guys are going to be walking around your houses and workplaces just saluting each other like, good morning, angel. Good morning, angel. What's up, angel? What's up, angel? So all the angels saluting each other, basically saying this. Here's what you're saying in this, is that God is using you to keep me dependent on him. Right? He's using you to keep me dependent on him. You, angel, gave me a gift of realizing how much I actually need God. Amen? Amen. I don't have to like the delivery service to open the package. So his thorn was sent by an angel, a messenger of Satan. See, God is so good. God is so good because he knows how to match your thorn to his throne. He knows how to match your thorn from his throne. He said it was sent by a messenger of Satan to torment me. You've been tormented by it. You've been tormented by it. I'm hoping that the quietness in the room, that we could hear a pin drop right now, I'm hoping because it's for somebody this morning. It torments you when there's a weakness that you can't get stronger in. It torments you that you should be farther along and you did it again. It torments you that other people can do that easily. But if I'm honest, it's just not easy for me. It torments you. What torments you this morning? Torment. Torment. The tormentor. Tormentor. Mentor. Paul Thorn was his mentor. Paul Thorn was a mentor. And I told you that Paul, I tell you what Paul Thorn was, and I did. It was his mentor. It was the thing that God gave him to teach him grace. Now, because there are some things that can only be learned in Thorn University. There's some things that can only be learned in Thorn University. There are some things that God can only teach you, not through the advice of somebody, but through adversity. Paul wasn't a rookie, see? Well, Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he didn't even want to be. He never applied to be an apostle. He didn't fill out an application to be an apostle. He was just riding on his donkey through Damascus, and God knocked him off. And bop, he said, new boss. You got a new boss. I am Jesus who you were persecuting, and he had to lead him by the hand. You've got a new mentor, Paul. You got a new mentor. And this is difficult, especially for Paul, because, see, Paul studied under Gamaliel. Gamaliel, and Gamaliel was a father of the Sanhedrin. He was a father, that's who he studied under, not just a member. Gamaliel was the grandson of the great Jewish teacher, Hillel. Gamaliel was so powerful, they said that the glory of the Torah died when Gamaliel died, okay? But he was only steeped in Judaism. When Gamaliel mentored Paul, he could only teach him so much. He could teach him about the law. He could teach Paul about the oral tradition. And Paul even, and he defends himself. Paul does. In Acts 22:3, he said, I grew up in Jerusalem, and I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was my mentor. And Gamaliel, he could teach me about grammar, but Gamaliel couldn't teach me about grace. Gamaliel could teach me to feel like God based off what I knew, but he couldn't teach me about the grace of God, which brings me to my knees. It took a thorn to show me that. It took a thorn to show me that I didn't ask for it. And at any time, God, if you want to take it, it's still on the table. You can have it back at any time. But the torment stops here. For some of you today, for the somebody today, the torment stops here. I will not be tormented by this thorn one more day. Not one more day. If you're not going to take this thorn away, then God, you will need to give me the grace. That thorn is the mentor that you didn't ask for. It's a mentor that you didn't ask for. It's the thing that's going to teach you and mentor you, because the thorn, things that penetrate deeply, that's what takes us to the throne. Put the second part of the verse back on the screen real quick, please. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness. My weakness is so that Christ's power may rest on me. And God, if you want to give me a breakthrough, this is what you would say to God today. God, if you want to give me a breakthrough, if you will, great. If not, if you won't give it to me, you won't give me that breakthrough that I need, at least give me a therefore. Because when I embrace the truth that the thorn is mentoring me and it's liberating, something I've experienced, and this is why I believe that God has this message for somebody here today, because if I had to walk through this myself personally recently, a couple weeks ago. See, when I embrace the truth that the thorn is mentoring me, I can embrace the grace and understand it's there for a reason. It's there for a reason. And it's a pivotal moment when you don't allow the enemy to torment you anymore with it. And the enemy, he doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to see that. He doesn't want you to see this today. He doesn't. Because he wants to keep you weak, especially when you worship. Especially when you worship. Paul said, therefore, I boast all the more gladly. I glory in what the thorn brought me to. I tried to send it back, return to sender. I didn't order this thorn. But regardless of how it came right now, God, I just need grace. Crippled yet confident. Thorns turned inward. Band, if you'd come up to close out, please. I want you guys to stand with me as we close. And Mike, if you please bring the house lights down, we're going to close this thing out. And we're going to close it out like this. I'd ask that everybody would stand. And I want you to close your eyes now. Close your eyes now for me in an attitude of reverence. And in just a moment, I'm trusting. I'm going to send God's word as a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Okay, I'm trusting that his word would make a way. I'm trusting that his word would give us confidence in the midst of what feels crippling, that he'd have the confidence, that she'd have the confidence, that we'd have the confidence to ask for two things this morning. Two things. First, we're going to ask him for the miracle of removal. Okay, I believe we need to ask him. And don't say this morning, well, I know God probably won't do that for me, so I'm probably not going to ask him. No. God's a big boy. Okay, let him answer that for himself. Let him bring his own no. But we have to at least ask, and I plead with you this morning to at least ask for removal. Secondly, God, if you choose not to remove it, even if you won't remove it, I'm asking you for renewal. A renewal of strength in my weakness. A renewal of perspective in the midst of my current paralysis. A renewal of confidence in the midst of what feels so crippling. So God, we're asking for one of the two, for removal or for renewal. Everybody in here today, asking for removal or renewal, eyes closed, I want you to put your palms up. Palms up. You can either leave your arms at your side, or if you're desperate this morning, lift your arms up high. We're going to do this symbolically as a way of receiving God's word today. As we're receiving a gift that our hands would be, the palms would be upward. And so here we go. As I read it this morning, I want you to close your eyes and focus on the word. I pray, God, that your word would penetrate our hearts today. 2 Corinthians 12, 6 to 10. Same verse, but this time I'm going to read in the Message version. If I had a mind to brag a little, I could probably do it without looking ridiculous. And I'd still be speaking plain truth all the way. But I'll spare you. I don't want anyone imagining me as anything other than the fool you'd encounter if you saw me on the street or heard me talk. This is Paul speaking this. because of the extravagance of those revelations. And so I wouldn't get a big head. I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did the best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift, and I begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that, and then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes to you in your own weaknesses. Once I heard that, I was so glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take my limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, things like abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. I want to tell you guys this morning as we close it out with this song, the same God, that the altars are open this morning. I don't want you to be afraid. I want to tell you and give you permission that our humility honors God. And I invite you to take a desperate posture this morning, whatever that looks like, and call on the name of Jesus today, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God.